Well, good morning. I promise you, you have not come to psychology class this morning. But we do want to take this opportunity to use this series to point to some powerful biblical things as it relates to having our needs met. Amen. Just before we get into the message, I just want to mention one important thing. Today, immediately following our 11 a.m. worship experience, we have what's called Growth Track One Day. And our Growth Track class is an opportunity for you to learn more about our church. Perhaps you're new to Chapel Hill. Maybe you're saying, hey, I'm interested. Maybe you've been coming for a while, haven't had an opportunity to attend Growth Track, and want to know what is the pathway to membership. Growth Track is the first step in that process, and it helps you learn a little bit more about the church, and it gives us an opportunity to learn a little bit more about you. And so that is happening today. It's an hour and a half class. Lunch is served. Childcare is provided. So if you're interested in being a part of that, immediately following the worship experience today, you can enroll right out at guest services. All right? Well, listen, let's pray and invite the Holy Spirit to anoint his word in our ears as we hear it. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. We thank you, God, that you truly are the one who meets all of our need. That you are a gracious, loving, giving, and forgiving Father. Yes. And so, Lord, as we open your word today, let our hearts be good ground for the seed of that word. And as that seed is planted, let it produce bountifully. Father, I pray that every ear will hear what you sent those ears to hear today. I pray that every heart will receive what you have sent every heart to receive today. And we stand against all of the works of the enemy, his lies, his deception that would prevent your people from stepping into their destiny. Father, we thank you that today is a destiny-changing day. And God, we give you praise for it. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Well, we're kicking off this I Have Needs series today as we touch on that very first level of needs, the survival needs, the physiological needs. So today's message is entitled Survival Basics. Survival Basics. Now, let me just kind of give you the purpose of this series. See, first of all, the purpose of this series is for us to recognize and acknowledge that we all have needs, but also to be aware that we all have an inclination to meet those needs, sometimes in ways that are not in our best interest. Amen? Now, don't get too quiet on me, because it might get a little tense in here. And you know, I like to say, if it gets tense, it goes down easier if you just say amen. If you just say amen, it'll you can swallow it down a whole lot easier. And so the other point of this series is that we want to point you to a relationship with a living Savior who desires to meet your needs. Not only does he desire to meet your need, he has the ability and the capacity to do so at a measure that even exceeds what you can expect. And so here's the reality. We all have a wide range of needs in a wide range of areas, and these needs are legitimate. But what we need to make sure is that we legitimately meet needs in legitimate ways. Are you tracking with me so far? See, one of the challenges or the trouble that we find ourselves getting into as human beings is that we attempt to meet legitimate needs through illegitimate means. The need is legitimate, but the means by which we may pursue the meeting of that need may not be. See, behind every unhealthy, sinful behavior is an attempt to meet a legitimate need. Behind every overindulgence in alcohol is an attempt to meet a legitimate need. Behind every abuse and manipulation, there is an attempt to meet a legitimate need. Behind every drug addiction, there is an attempt to meet a legitimate need. Behind every click on a pornographic site, there is an attempt to meet a legitimate need. Behind every girl that takes a half-naked picture of herself and posts it on the internet, there is an attempt to meet a legitimate... Am I making it plain to you yet? There is an attempt to meet a legitimate need, but we have to learn that our needs drive us. All of us are driven by our needs. The question is, to what destination will we go? And this series is about helping point you to a destination where not only can you get the need met, but there won't be a hangover afterwards. See, oftentimes we find ourselves trying to meet needs and we end up engaging in behaviors that actually leave us in greater need than when we started. And so this series is about pointing you to someone who has the ability and the desire to meet your needs. Philippians 4:19. This is kind of the focal passage for this series. The New King James Version says it this way: and my God shall supply, say it with me, all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I think we should read that again. Let's read it together. 1, 2, 3, read. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He shall supply, not some, but all. In his Son, Jesus Christ, he has comprised all of the need that humanity can ever amass, and he still has some left over. Amen. See, our mission here at Chapel Hill is this. Chapel Hill exists to lead people into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why we do everything that we do. We want you to move into, to embrace, and to continue in a growing relationship with the living, real, non-mythical Christ. Because he is available to meet needs. And see, as we grow in our relationship with Christ, we will have more and more of our needs met. See, we want to show through this series how God meets these needs as we grow in faith. Here's an important truth. Your needs matter. Your needs matter. God is not saying that your needs don't matter. He's saying they matter. I want to teach you how to get them met in ways that strengthen you and not harm you. See, they matter to God. He wants to see them met, and he has promised to meet them himself. God wants you to be a whole person. And he is committed to seeing you whole in every area of your life. So there's another passage that helps frame this series that I want to introduce to you. And it's 1 Thessalonians 5:23-24. It says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. Jesus wants to make you whole. He wants your spirit, soul, and body whole. Your spirit is that part of you that comes alive when you are born again and you come into relationship with Jesus Christ. Your soul is that part of you. It is your will, your mind, your emotions, your personality, and your body houses all of those things. And God is saying, I want all of that to be whole. Yeah. I want all of that to be complete. I want all of that to have nothing missing and nothing broken. But you've got to come to me in order for that to take place. So today I want us to turn to a passage of scripture that will be our focal point for the remainder of our time together. It is John chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. It's lengthy, so bear with me. Let's read through. Verse 1. Sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, which is surrounded by five covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he had been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to get well?" "Sir," the invalid replied, "I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred, when I am trying to get in. Someone else goes down ahead of me." Then Jesus said to him, "Get up, pick up your mat and walk." At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. The day on which this took place was a Sabbath. And so the Jewish leaders said to the man who had been healed, "It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat." But he replied, "The man who made me well said to me, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" So they asked him, "Who is this fellow who told you to pick it up and walk?" And the man who was healed had no idea who it was, for Jesus had slipped away into the crowd that was there. Later, Jesus found him at the temple and said to him, "See, you are well again. Stop sinning or something worse may happen to you." The man went away and told the Jewish leaders that it was Jesus who had made him well. Now, let me just describe this whole scene for you if I can. See, this place called the Pool of Bethesda, it was on the eastern side of the city of Jerusalem. And there were large numbers of people who were there in distress. The blind, the crippled, the deaf, the sick and diseased, just like we talked about last week, blind Bartimaeus. These were people who depended on others to take care of them. Now, some Bible translations include a fourth verse that I did not read, but this fourth verse helps you understand why the people were gathered at that place. Let's read it from the New King James Version. It says, "For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had." That's why they were gathered. They were all gathered around because they were hoping for something miraculous to take place. They were hoping that maybe the angel would come and stir the water and the water would become healing waters and they could drag their way, make their way into the water to find healing. They were looking for a miracle lottery. Only one gets healed. And you can imagine that the family members are bringing them day after day, hoping maybe this will be the day the angel will stir the water and my family member will get in and they'll get their healing. But you know what strikes me? It's very interesting to me that Jesus, he comes on this scene and he literally walks around or maybe even steps over many of the people who were there only to speak to one man. And he asked him a question. "Do you want to get well?" In the King James Version, it says it really dramatically. It says, "Will thou be made whole?" Do you want to get well? Do you want to be made whole? I mean, this question, it just makes me wonder, why did Jesus only pose it to one man? I mean, it seems like a relevant question to the whole crowd, doesn't it? I mean, isn't that why they were there? Weren't they there because they wanted to get whole? I mean, didn't they all come to the pool to get well? But Jesus only went to one person. See, when I read scripture, I cannot look at it just on the surface. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I read it, I get questions. Does anybody else get questions? I get questions. I'm like, wait a minute. I can't just jump over this. All of these people are laying around here. And you literally walk around and step over all of them and you only speak to one person, Jesus. It's not like you're lacking power. You could heal every single one of them, but you only talk to one. Now, I don't know exactly what happened, but would you just join me on a journey today so we can just maybe think about what could have happened? See, here's something that I'm familiar with, because I spent a lot of time working with people and counseling people. And one thing I have learned about people is that sometimes people can be stuck in their problem so long that the problem becomes an identity. That the problem becomes who they see themselves as. I mean, sometimes people are in a situation that they say they want to change, but they are afraid of the work involved. They say they want to change, but they have become comfortable depending on other people to take care of them. I mean, sometimes people say that they want to change, but they are afraid of a new life in unfamiliar territory. See, they know what to expect when they come every day to the pool of Bethesda. They already know what to expect. There's going to be a sick one over here and a sick one over here. And this is my spot. And I lay between these two sick ones here. And I don't really want to be here, but at least I know this spot. This spot is familiar. This spot is, I know this spot. I don't know what life would be like if I didn't have to come here every day. See, that's the thing about human nature. We can get so comfortable in our stuff that even our problems that we really don't want can become our identity. Or maybe a person might say, listen, I've been dependent so long. The idea of becoming independent is terrifying. Because if I become independent, then instead of being someone who needs help, I might have to help someone else. And I don't know if I want to do that. Maybe this is what was going on in the minds of the others. I'm just speculating, y'all. This is the JB version. But I'm speculating, I'm wondering what might have been going on based on my limited knowledge of human nature. But Jesus passed all of them by. Maybe he passed all of them by because he knew. I already know what you're going to say. I already know how you're going to respond to my encounter. But there's one in your midst who's going to have a little bit of a different response. He's the one I came for. I don't know. Are you that one? See, I believe Jesus is passing through today. See, here's the thing about this, the pool of Bethesda. See, I think that the pool of Bethesda is symbolic for all of us of those places where we are just stuck. Those places that we have become familiar with, those places that we like to get out of, but I don't know, it's familiar. See, the question is, what is your pool of Bethesda? What is that place where you remain stuck with your needs not being met? See, that pool of Bethesda, I believe it represents a place in your life where you may have unmet needs and change is necessary. Jesus asked the man, do you want to get well? Do you want to be whole? See, wholeness is absolutely God's desire for us. We just talked about it in 1 Thessalonians 5. It says, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through wholly. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, his objective is to bring us to a place where our lives are not defined. I want you to get this because I'm going to come back to this. He wants you to get to a place where your life is not defined by your perceived met or unmet need. Stick with me. He wants you to get to a place where you no longer define yourself by the circumstances around you. It's so easy to do, but he wants us to transcend those things. See, he has promised to meet our needs, but we've got to learn to define our lives by something greater than my perception that my needs are met. This is important. So then let's go back just briefly to Maslow's chart. So let's just toss that chart up on the screen here, because psychologist Abraham Maslow, he says this is a hierarchical chart. It's a step, if you will. The first thing that has to happen is your physiological needs must be met. You got to have enough food. You got to have enough clothing. You got to have enough shelter, right? You got to have that, right? You got to have those things. Then you got to feel safe. You got to have a shelter over you. Once you begin to feel safe, then you can start to think about connecting with others. And then once you connect with others, then you can feel good about yourself. You have esteem, and then you transcend to self-actualization, where you become a contributor to society. You have to follow those steps, right? Or do you? See, I think that Abraham Maslow came up with some great observations. I believe he did a good job of observing how human beings perceive their needs. I believe that observation is accurate. But if you take a relationship with an ultra creative supernatural Jesus out of the equation, then all of that is true. If you take Jesus out of that equation, then you have accurately described the human experience. But when you put Jesus back into the equation, see, I believe he's greater than that chart. See, I believe there's more to him than that chart. Now, I'm not suggesting that these things aren't important. I'm suggesting they're not all important. And perspective is critical here. Is it all right if I just teach you? Because I don't want to run around and just preach all the time. I want y'all to walk out of here and learn some really critical and practical things. Now look at this. We come back to this man at the pool of Bethesda. See, clearly this man is struggling with having some of his base level physiological needs met. It's clear. And Jesus asked the question, do you want to get well? And then he responds to Jesus, verse 7. He says, sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. Then Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. See, there was no power in his legs. But you know what else there was no power in? There was no power in the people that he trusted to help him. Not only were his legs powerless, but the ones that he was depending on to pick him up and get him into the water, they too were powerless. See, I asked you this question earlier. What will you say when Jesus comes to you at your pool of Bethesda? What will you say? See, how many times have we said what this man said in one form or another? When Jesus encounters us in our difficult situation, he encounters us in our stuck situation. And he asks us the question, well, do you want to get well? Do you want to be made whole? Sometimes we sound like that man in different ways. He says, do you want to get well? Well, I don't have enough money to pay my bills. Do you want to get well? You know, I just lost my job. But do you want to get well? You know, I'm still feeling sick again today. Do you want to get well? Oh, you know, my husband, he's driving me crazy. Do you want to get well? But my kids, I don't know what to do with these kids. But do you want to get well? Oh, my boss, it's just impossible to deal with. But do you want to get well? My car just broke down and I gotta get on the bus. But do you want to get well? Oftentimes we sound just like the man at the pool of Bethesda. We have all of these excuses when Jesus just wants to know, but do you want to get well? Wilt thou be made whole? See, maybe he knew that even though this man started out with an excuse, that the man wouldn't let that excuse keep him from what Jesus had in store. Let's pick up. It says this. Then Jesus said, get up. I love this. Can I just stop here? So the man responds to Jesus, I have nobody to help me get into the water. Jesus blows my mind because he doesn't, his next response isn't, would you tell me about how these people let you down? Tell me a little bit more about how disappointed you are in them. I'm a trained licensed counselor. They teach us to talk like that. Not that it's all bad. And then I noticed something else. Jesus, he doesn't even say, be healed of the affliction. Be healed of your paralysis. Be healed of your misformed hips. He doesn't say that. He says, get up. Can we just go to the scene? Here he is. I mean, he's been laying there for 38 years. I mean, they carried him in this morning. Carried him in this morning, and there he sees Jesus off in the distance walking. He don't even know who Jesus is. And Jesus, he sees him stepping over this one and walking around that one and climbing over this one. He's like, it looks like, is he coming, Mom? He is coming my way. And so then Jesus walks up to him. He doesn't ask him his name. He doesn't say, hey, I was just talking to somebody over here and I heard you've been here for 38 years. Talk to me about what the last 38 years have been like in your life. He walks up to him and asks him a question. Do you want to get well? Now, just imagine if you this guy. Do I want to get well? Are you okay? I mean, I've been here for 38 years. I mean, I don't come here because I don't have anywhere else to go. Do I want to get, what kind of question is that? And he's just there. And then he says, listen, I would get well. I would. I mean, really, I could do this if I could get that dude over there to move faster when the water starts stirring. I told him the last time he missed me and the other guy jumped in front of me. He let the blind guy beat me. Do I want to get well? If I could just get somebody to do something for me, then I could get well. Yes. But then Jesus, he speaks a word. He says, get up and pick up your mat. Now, see, I believe this is what separates that one man from everybody else. There was something about the call and Jesus's command that he responded to. And I believe he decided, well, this guy said, get up. Well, maybe I can. I mean, what would happen if I tried? Wait, that leg hadn't moved in 38. Wait, they both moving. See, this is our problem. We still don't understand what faith is. See, the man had to get up first. And as he got up on Jesus' command, healing came into his body. See, some of us are saying, no, heal me and then I'll get up. Jesus said, when I told you to get up, that was the healing. See, some of us are waiting to step into an opportunity or step into a door. And we're like, no, but when the circumstances are right, when the clouds are just perfect, when the sun is shining and beaming right down and saying, now move. And Jesus is saying, oh, no, move while it's raining. Don't even take an umbrella. Because as soon as you start to move, you will see that my word, the word that I spoke, it has life, it has power, it has virtue in it. See, some of you, you just need to quit giving excuses and get up. Just get up. Stop complaining about the marriage and just do something about it. Stop whining and moaning about how wild your kids are. Go sit down with them and quit yelling and screaming and frothing at the mouth. Speak God's truth over their lives. If I made a decision about where those kids are going based on how they're acting today, I'd put them all out. I'd send them to Pastor West's house. I don't blame you. I run too. But God is calling us to be people of faith. See, here's the reality. And I got to go on. See, we've got to understand something. See, God is in no way limited to your circumstances. There is nothing, and I mean nothing, about your circumstance that troubles God. And the Apostle Paul teaches something so powerfully in Philippians chapter 4, We started out with one verse, and I'm going to read that verse again because he wrote this verse, Philippians 4:19, and my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He wrote it from prison. See, you might think he was sitting in a palace or he was sitting in a comfortable place when he made that proclamation, that declaration. No, he was chained between two guards in a first century prison, and he didn't have enough food to eat. And he wasn't in circumstances that were pleasant. He couldn't go where he wanted to go when he wanted to go. He couldn't bathe himself whenever he wanted to. And in the middle of that, he says, oh, but don't be confused. My God shall supply all of your need. See, he was in what we would have called need. Paul would have been at that very base level of the pyramid. He didn't have everything that he needed. His shelter was inadequate. His food was inadequate. His water was inadequate. His circumstances were deplorable. And he made the proclamation, oh, don't be confused. I'm the most free person in the jail. Let me tell you why. Next verse, look at this. Philippians 4:11-13. He says, I'm not saying this because I am in need. He is writing from prison. Are you kidding me? For I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all this through him who gives me strength. Man, it's so important to know the context of Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. That is coming from somebody who, if you would evaluate his life, you think he has come to nothing. And he's saying, oh, I have everything. I have everything. I've learned the secret is whether I have plenty or whether I have nothing. Here's the secret. Christ. Christ is the secret ingredient. Now let me close with this. Jesus himself, he made a statement that we need to latch onto. Jesus, at a time in his life when he was faced with some of the greatest temptation, greatest need. He had been fasting for 40 days. He was hungry. He was physically weak, and he was in great need. And Satan tempted him to do something illegitimate, to meet a legitimate need. He said, take these stones, if you're the Son of God, and turn them into bread and eat. You hungry? Look at you. And Jesus says, oh, I'm sorry, you're confused. He says this, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Oh, do you need to eat? Oh, you bet you do. But there are some more important things than eating. The word of God, the bread of life. And when Jesus came to this man at the pool of Bethesda, he did not have a loaf of bread with him. Although I bet that dude was hungry. He didn't give him bread. You know what he gave him? He gave him himself. And who did he call himself? The bread of life. See, at the very base level of this pyramid, it's not bread that needs to be at that base level. It's Jesus. What you need more than anything else is him. And in this room, there are some of you who may be living a life outside of a relationship with him. But then there are others of you in this place who are saying, yes, I need to return to him as my bread of life. need to return to him as the one that I can truly depend on. I need to go ahead and get up. Would you bow your heads? If you're in this place this morning, and you're saying, Jesus, I recognize that I really need you more than anything else. Won't you pray with me right now? And just simply say, Lord Jesus, go ahead and pray it. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me for depending on things other than you to meet my needs. Lord, forgive me for not trusting in you as much as I could to meet my needs. And now just say to him, Lord, save me. Lord, wash me. Maybe you're asking him to wash you again. Just say to him, Lord, grant me a new start. And now say this to him, Lord, I will move when you tell me to get up. I will trust you. I will step out and I will move forward when you call me to move. And I'll give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.